and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 4. I'm Jack.
I'm Jay.
I'm ASD.
We've got lots to cover today. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the last week or so we'll go straight into it. So what I want to know is, what is the worst run of defeats that you've seen as a Spurs fan? And we're doing this for perspective. So ASD, you've done loads of prep for today.
I've done research, right? Because I don't come on here anymore. As much as I'm, but I'm, yeah. I am now. I'm
pleased to have you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been with my daughter. I've got used to her. I'm done. You know, I don't want to.
My job as a parent is now done,
and that is how it works.
Tell you what is the annoying thing about being a parent. I know we're on a time thing. It's being told off for using the word babysitting all the time. It's like Wednesday night, Thursday night. There's a ball game thing. You know, like my ball games, and there's a ball game meet where I live in Letchworth. And I wanted to go to it, meet the local dorks. And Emma was like, oh, I want to go out. Or Mrs. SD was like, I want to go out, I want to meet someone. And I was like, it's ball game night. But now I have to be home babysitting. But it's not babysitting, it's parenting. The worst defeat...
Moving swiftly on.
Don't
get me started.
You asked the worst run of defeats.
Yeah.
I went... You know, I've got a list. For listeners who don't know, I've got an Excel sheet that I keep on my desktop. It's got 153 all 153 games I've ever been to, with the attendance, where I was
sat. It's an amazing sheet.
I'll send Jack a screenshot so he can stick it on the page. And I went through it. I've never seen us live lose more than twice in a row. And they happened like five or six times. The worst defeat was the 5-0 to Liverpool. I know it's not worst defeats, it's worst string of defeats. Yeah. So I've been back and I spent my lunch break looking at the worst run. Now, this may not be the single worst run, and it's just Premier League stats, but that's what people are talking about. In 93-94, which is what everyone's talking about, we lost eight games in a row.
That's just for context.
Not even a draw in that.
Not a draw.
That's about a fifth of the season.
Mm. We lost to Norwich, West Ham, Coventry, Sheffield Wednesday, Man United, Swindon, Sheffield Wednesday, Blackburn. And
they're not even good sides, are they?
Swindon not. So I've gone
slagging you off.
I've gone through. I've got the Spurs side, and I've got the Swindon and the Man United side, just to give you some context. So Swindon, Nicky Hammond, Adrian Whitbread, Sean Taylor, Brian Kilcline, Luke Nyholt, Kevin Horlock, John Moncur, Martin Ling, Nicky Summerby, Janne Fjordfoss, and Andy Murch, with Paul Bowden and Keith Scott. None of these people you know about, but maybe Yannick.
Martin Ling, director of football at Latin Orient these days.
Mate, that's a knowledge bombshell.
I was coaching with
Fjordtoft. Fjordtoft was huge. Andy Murch, Johnny Moncur. Yeah, remember these guys.
And listen to this Man United team. We only beat us 1-0. Peter Schmeichel, Gary Pallister, Paul Parker, Dennis Irwin, Steve Bruce, Roy Keane, Paul Ince, Andre Kanchelskis, Ryan Giggs, Mark Hughes, Eric Cantona.
That United back four is ridiculous.
And then our team was against Swindon.
Do you know we actually tried to sign Gary Parker? Paul Parker, didn't we?
Good player, Paul Parker.
We had Eric Thorpevet, Colin Calderwood, Steve Sedgley, Dean Austin, Justin Edinburgh, Stuart Nethercott, Darren Anston, Darren Caskey, Nicky Barmby, Vinny Samways, and Paul Mahorn up front.
Incredible.
Right?
I think there's six of my all-time worst Spurs players in that time.
However, we are now in the worst run of games right now, according to half the Spurs fans. Jay, obviously.
It was pretty bad.
What's yours?
I remember the elation of winning the Carling Cup in 2008. Although I don't remember being there, because by the end of it I was pretty drunk.
That's unlike you.
I've still got pictures of it. But I remember quite vividly going on what felt like a never-ending slump immediately after. In fact, I don't think we lost every game, but I certainly don't think we won.
We got murdered 4-1 at Birmingham about 5 days after we beat Chelsea in that cup final. But that game.
It started an abysmal run.
Yeah.
An abysmal run.
But it was the end of Ramos.
Yeah, it lasted the end of the season. Yeah. And then it started again in August, that then culminated in the departure of Ramos.
2 points from 8 games. Who took over? I can't remember.
But that was really, really bad. I can't remember if we won a game between then and the end of the season.
I can look it up.
But we ended up very, very, very close to the relegation zone, and it was not good.
Mm.
But we'd won a cup. So we were all very, very, very forgiving of the situation.
Against Chelsea as well.
Against Chelsea, exactly.
And at the time where we were as a club, we weren't a decent league team at all. We were a mid-table side.
Mm.
That was sort of what we were.
But that was a side that heralded promise.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant clip from that final. Timu Taino. You know exactly
where
he's pointing towards the scoreboard when we're 2-1 up.
Just giving it to Drogba, isn't he? Yeah. I think it's Drogba or Ashley Cole. It might be both of them, but it's amazing. Mm. But I just wanted to start with that, just for some perspective, because we'll go on to the game against Liverpool now, which was a shocking performance and actually quite a good result for us in the end, first compared to what it could have been. But it's perspective. We've lost two league games. We've lost to Watford and we've lost to Liverpool, which is poor. But we've got more points at this stage in the season than we did last season. So if you're looking at it completely subjectively, we're further ahead at the start of the season than we have been at any point under Pochettino. For me, it was more the manner of the defeat against Watford and Liverpool that are the most concerning.
Yeah.
When I saw the team sheet against Liverpool, I actually quite liked it. I thought, oh, he's going with a diamond, something slightly different, a formation we don't normally use, a formation that we used against Real Madrid away last season, and we used it fantastically and really stopped their midfield getting on the ball and dictating play. And I actually thought for the large periods of the first half, we limited what Liverpool were creating. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying we limited the chances Liverpool had, because I think the chances Liverpool had were all from us giving the ball away in absolutely ridiculous areas. And you just think, you know, any football fan knows Liverpool are going to press your back four. They're going to be all over you. Why even bother engaging with it? Why not play over the press? That was my biggest frustration with it. I thought the diamond defensively worked really well. I didn't think that their midfield were getting on the ball much. I thought Salah, who had a lot of chance in the second half, but in the first half didn't really do too much. It was only when they nicked it and broke that they got in. The first goal was terrible goalkeeping, and I hadn't even realised it was Vorm's fault until watching it back on Match of the Day, because I didn't actually realise that the punch that he completely fluffed was a punch. I didn't even think he got anywhere near it. It was shocking keeping, and looking back on it, it wasn't even a difficult ball to deal with, really. It was a fairly routine cross to come in, clear your lines, and it wasn't a great header from Dyer either, and it was a good finish from Wijnaldum at the back post, but it was poor goalkeeping from Vorm.
I don't think I've seen us make that many mistakes since those teams of the 90s.
But what was with the...
Yes, they were better than us, and I think, you know, different perspectives on their performance were that they knew what they were in for, and they were happy to sit back and absorb our pressure and our possession, because they know that we only play the possession way. And when that starts to go awry, we start making simple mistakes. Of course, we are going to put Vorm under the sort of pressure that when he doesn't play week in week out, is going to yield mistakes. Mm. And I think that is the problem with Michel Vorm. He just doesn't play every week.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a bloody good keeper, but he needs a run. And he's never had a run. And this is the problem with second and third keepers. Before we even get to the fact that genuinely, I started to see signs of serious fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eric Dier played the full 90 against Switzerland. Captain, didn't he? Trippier did as well.
Before you go on about Dier, he gets a lot of stick. You don't captain your country on multiple occasions if you're not a quality player.
He's a quality player.
Yeah, but he didn't play quality.
Didn't play well.
No. But he didn't play football we know he can play.
He's been playing with a back three behind him, right? So when he turns around and passes to the centre of the box where there's usually a central defender, there wasn't one there. So part of the thing he didn't do well was misplacing passes, because it wasn't what he was used to. He should be passing at an angle, left or right, but they weren't there. And so that was a big problem.
I think as well with Dier, he was playing a position against Liverpool that as far as I'm aware, he hasn't played in his entire career, the right side of a diamond.
Mm.
That's an extremely specialist position, and I completely understood the thinking of Dier on the right, Winks on the left. I was surprised to see it, but after a couple of minutes, you're like, no, it makes sense, because what Dier and Winks have got are legs in midfield, and they can get from side to side. And when you play a diamond, one of the biggest things is the players on the side of your diamond have to get across the pitch as quickly as possible when the opposition transition the play. So if you're on the right-hand side of the diamond and it's on the other side of the pitch, you're tucked in and you're narrow.
Yeah.
As soon as they switch it, you have to get out as soon as possible to stop them getting around the back of the diamond, because that's how you play against the diamond. And I thought Dyer and Winks did that really, really well in the first half. Dyer was terrible in possession, absolutely terrible. But I think defensively, the whole system, in my opinion, worked in the first half. But it's just individual errors. As a manager, what can you do?
So wait, so you think it's about Dyer playing a slightly unfamiliar position?
I agree.
I think
that.
It's about fatigue.
Mm. I'm not sure. So I think about this fatigue thing a lot because Sun came out of the weekend, didn't he, and say fatigue doesn't exist. But I massively believe it does. You know, I'm not an elite athlete. None of us will ever be anything close to an elite athlete.
ASD, to be fair, of the present company, there is only one elite athlete.
I don't know. Well, it's me. And no, but that's what I was going to bring up. So when I 2014, when I was training like 6 days a week for my ultra marathon, I'd get up at 4:30, I'd run a half marathon, and then I'd run long runs. So I'd do that Monday to Thursday, and then I'd have a day off on Friday, and I'd run two long distances, 30K, 40K, every day, Saturday and Sunday. And even if I had a day off, even if I had 2 days off, even if I had a week off with an injury, I was exhausted mentally, and that's just running by myself. I can't believe that these guys who've been playing so many games. Did you watch that Michael Owen thing on BT Sport, that 10-minute thing where it was really emotional about how he talks about how many games he played by the time he was 26, 27. He just played way more games. Kids are playing way more games these days. It's the same with rugby players. You have a look at Sam Warburton, who's retired at the age of 28, because his body's knackered. He's 28. He's not even approaching the peak yet. And you really worry. Torres was a really obvious example where he just peaked. He peaked at Liverpool. He just burned out. I think it's a real problem.
Yeah.
These kids haven't had a break. Kane has had... He's got a young child who's the same age as mine, and then he's got another baby. Like, that's tiring. I know he's probably got nurses and his missus looks after him.
Well, what Kane does is he leaves the wife and kids at home in Essex.
Nice part of the world.
Which is I'm not saying this is the right or wrong thing to do, but he then has his own apartment.
Yeah.
Just at the top of Enfield.
Well, Lineker and Bale used to have
he is literally minutes away from the training ground up at White Webs. And I think that is the difference. I think my own personal view, I think we're seeing Kane playing a completely different way with two up top. And I think that
doesn't work.
That does not work.
No.
I don't see the same fatigue with Kane, although I do see a level of reticence to take on a ball early and quick and take on a defender the way he might once have done. But I don't think it's baby fatigue. Baby fatigue is Christian Eriksen. He has not been the same since he's had his baby.
I've got a different opinion on this tiredness. And I think from playing football, not a good level at all. But you're only ever tired when you're losing and when you haven't got the ball. If you're in front in a game, you don't even think about how tired you are. It's when you're chasing around for 90 minutes and you think, God, we're 2-0 down. That's when fatigue hits in. I think it's different with what you're saying about your running, because when you're running, it's a solo thing. And one of the biggest challenges I imagine is being in your own head. And so much time for thinking, because you're literally just like, right, I'm literally going to run for half a day today.
Yeah.
Whereas with football, you're never really thinking about your tiredness. You're always thinking, where's the ball, my position, this stuff. And I think it only ever kicks in when you're losing games. Ooh. I think last season, when we were on great runs and we're playing twice a week and we're winning, no one ever seems to talk about fatigue when side to winning. But as soon as you start losing games, it's always tired, he needs this, he needs that. I agree that Kane doesn't look sharp at all, and he does look like he could do with just a few days off. I don't necessarily think he needs to miss two or three games, what some people are saying, but just don't train, or just do really light training for a couple of days to get yourself back into it. Eden Hazard doesn't look tired, and he went
the most overrated player in the Premier League, and we can talk about
he
that
went
later.
36 games without a goal. Everyone forgets that season when
he takes on a lot of people. He doesn't assist or score as much as he should do.
Last season we didn't have the World Cup that this lot just had,
but then you, on the flip side,
Nations League, where's that come from?
On the flip side of that, the summer before that, when it was the Euros, we had England didn't get as far into it, but we had lots of players in that tournament, and we come back and we were okay. I just think fatigue is one of them things that it's a bit of an easy blame when sides aren't playing well, and I just don't necessarily agree with it.
So I can see both sides. Aaron Ramsey requested to come off due to tiredness. That was his word, tiredness. But it's an interesting one.
I think we just show lethargy in chasing the game that we wouldn't have ordinarily done. Now, I've seen us become a little bit more uncertain as we chase a game, but here I didn't even see uncertainty. Mm. I just saw lethargy.
Mm.
And that to me, and that's between 50 and 70 minutes.
But, I mean,
when we're chasing a game, I thought, where is there was one move that indicated that I thought we are going to go into a high energy passage of play and a passage of the game, and that's when Mora broke the ranks.
He should have scored, dragged it near post.
And I think he could have taken the keeper on far post. I think he'd have had more chance. But we didn't see anything else after that for 15 minutes that got the ball even close to the final.
I think the introduction of Lamella was a point. I'm always on the fence with Lamella. One week I love him, the other week I hate him. I think, what are you doing? He was outstanding when he came on against Liverpool. He changed the whole game. He got on. The first thing he did was popped it to Trippier and made a 40-yard run in behind. Trips played the ball in. We got a cross in. We won a corner. Crowds up. First thing he did, it seemed to me like he was the only player that was willing to run the other way. Everyone wanted the ball to feet, and he was the only one that was like actually in all the spaces behind. I'm not a football expert, but you know, against Liverpool, the areas you can really get at them are their centre halves dragging them into full back positions. Yeah. It's that ball in the channel.
One of the things, Liverpool were just a better team than us. They got to the Champions League final and they spent money on top of that team. Like, let's not forget that.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they're Champions League finalists by any stretch of the imagination.
I think us at our best, we are a measure of them.
Yeah, I'm talking yesterday. And I'm talking the 4-1, the reverse fixture last season was not an anomaly because we deserved it. But I think that raises your level of expectation because we got 4 points off them last season. It could have been different, definitely in their that away game as well. If we won 2-1, I think people right now, we wouldn't be reacting as bad as we did.
Yeah. I don't know how you play a defence with Van Dijk at his peak as well. When you look at that's the improvement they made. I think he had a very, 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 very good game.
The man in the Liverpool back four is Joe Gomez, though, for me. I think he's going to be such a good player. He reminds me of an early days Rio Ferdinand. The way he invites the ball in behind the full-back in the channel, he actually wants you to play him. No centre-halves want to go in that area. And at one point, he was matching Lucas Moura. When Moura burst through, and I was like, here we go, he's in. And Gomez just literally a couple of strides and he's level with him. I thought he was excellent. But I want to talk about the goal as well in the second half, the second Liverpool goal. Vorm again?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Vorm is at fault. He's not a very... I don't think it's a run. I just think he's... He's been our second keeper for so long. He's not very good. It's the Kane problem. Who do you get to sit behind Lloris? Who do you get to sit behind Kane? Both Llorente and Vorm are not good enough. And I'm worried that tomorrow, a game which kicks off at 6 o'clock, but for everyone who's listening, that he's going to be our keeper. Mm. I mean,
we'll come on to him because I've got a few questions about that.
You mentioned Lamella, and you don't know whether you love him or hate him. I think Poch is the same.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, having had a not a bad season last season when he played, he didn't start against Fulham. From memory, he came on against Fulham and changed the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
1-1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Came on, changed the game. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
run?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think spurred us on to 3-1.
Yeah.
A couple of games later, he's not even on the subs bench for Watford. Didn't even make the subs bench.
It's strange.
What is going on there?
It's weird.
I thought
his fight, you know, what he did to Liverpool when we played them at Anfield for the 2-2 alone, I thought would have vindicated him starting just to wind them up. And we didn't see him start. I understand why he didn't start. But again, he came on and changed the game. I do not understand what our problem is with Eric.
This is the difference between starting and coming on to change a game, right? What's needed when players are knackered. Mentally, he's a player I think you can lock out of a game, but if he comes on, he's got that super aggressive, he's fresh. I think he's quite a sharp minded individual, and there's a big difference in coming on 70 minutes versus coming on
starting. I think he's better as a sub, definitely. I think he comes on and makes an impact, and I agree with what you say. I think he's one of them players, he sees a picture as well as any of them do.
I don't think we've seen enough of him, but what I like about him is he's a plan B. He's very, very different to Moura and Son, which is really good. He's not just this nippy winger who'll get in. He's incredibly one footed and he'll play it. I think he's our best through ball, he's our best triangle player, our best through ball player.
I've always thought he's better in a central position, Lamella, when he's getting the ball on the half turn and going at centre half. So that's when I think
the problem with that is he hasn't got a right foot, which we saw with that ridiculous goal, the Rabona goal, which means if you're in a central position, you have to be able to use your right foot, and he can't. So he has to be on the left where he can. He's got a much greater field of vision.
He took his goal well, though, against Liverpool. That finish was absolutely fantastic on the volley. I mean, we then a minute later should have had a penalty, which in the ground, that was in front of me. That's 40 metres. Didn't see it.
Yeah.
Did not see it. I just thought Son's miskicked that, and no one really appealed for it either.
It would have been so with VAR, that's 2-2.
Penalty,
yeah.
That would have been
granted a mugging.
But stripey jumper, John. Absolute robbery.
One other point, just on the losses, before we move on. Against Liverpool and Watford, I feel like we've gone away from what we do best. I feel like we've been more worried about the opposition in the last two games than we have about what we're good at. And I get you have to adapt your tactics slightly to bear in mind who you're playing against, but we've been playing Kane in a position which isn't his best position. He's our best striker. We've been playing Eriksen in a position that isn't his best position, and he's our best creative player. And I think you can really see, especially with Eriksen, when he's not playing just off the side or in a 10, it just doesn't have any influence on the game. And you're asking him to then do defensive duties, which we know he's not good at. He'll run himself into the ground, but we know he's not good defensively. And I get Poch's thinking, which has been, I don't want Spurs to be predictable, because that was always our problem in the Poch early days and Redknapp. You know what you're going to get. Formation tactics, it's the same. If you stop it, you'll stop Spurs. So I get that he's tweaking it and trying different formations, but I think potentially he's gone a little bit too far the other way, and we need to go back to what we're good at, which is bullying teams in the middle of the park, getting the ball wide, getting balls in the box. That's what we're good at, and we just haven't really seen much of that in the last two games, which has been frustrating.
I remember Ferguson said in the golden age of the Premier League, when it was like Keane and Vieira versus Vieira, that era of when Arsenal were coming off the back of the Invincibles, when Arsenal were really good, Man United, when it was those two, you know. Ferguson said the only team he changed his tactics for were Arsenal. And you remember when Barcelona were tippy-tappy at their best, every team changed the way they played, and that's what we did for Liverpool. And I think if there's one team we're going to change the way we play for, it's probably going to be Liverpool, because they've got such a distinct start. But it was never more obvious that we changed everything. We changed our formation, we changed our style for them, and it just didn't work for us. We changed our game, so we reacted to them. If you read the 48 Laws of Power, which is my favourite book, one of the laws of power is to be aggressive, be on the front foot and make people react to you. And that's what they did, and we just weren't ready, because it meant you were always thinking, like you said about the running. Football, you shouldn't have to think as much. But because everyone was out of position or slightly off, they were thinking. And so it's a lot harder to be thinking for an hour and a half. You know?
And I'm all for adapting. And obviously you would always say to your left back against Liverpool, keep an eye out for Salah. He's probably not going to track you every time. He can choose your runs. I get that. Or you say to your centre midfielder that's playing on the left, just keep an eye out, don't bomb on, be conservative. I get that. But what has frustrated me is that we've adapted and still not played to our strengths. So it was like you talk about Ferguson. He was the master in those big games at adapting, stopping the opposition's big player, but still using Giggs and Beckham and getting the ball in the box. And I think under Poch we've been brilliant at that, and like one of the things we've done the best over the last 3 or 4 years is stopping the opponent's best player. I think we're brilliant at that. And to somewhat we did it against Liverpool with Salah, but we didn't use our strength. It was just incredibly frustrating to watch us in that kind of performance and that kind of manner. It was a tough watch.
I know we're wrapping this up, but I haven't taken on my season tickets. I can't afford both the money and the time at the moment, and it was one of those games where I am super grateful that I did it, because I saved 5 hours of travel. I saved
Finchley Road
quid.
Stop off.
Well, yeah.
I love
you and me with
Road
my brother.
That made my day.
But like,
I travelled in a really bad hangover, and that made my hangover feel palatable.
I had a whole day. Wasn't that bothered because I was out, and then I watched it. You know, I saved all of that because Spurs were just annoying. It reminded me of Redknapp. Anyway, let's move on.
Final thing, we win our next two games and Liverpool lose their next two, we'll be level on points. That's how tight it is at this point in the season. So I think you can't
judge
too much. No, you've got to give it a dozen games before the table starts to pan.
Ferguson used to say, make sure you're in and around it during Christmas, and it's after Christmas when it counts.
We've got a massive game tomorrow night in the Champions League, Inter Milan away.
So, just looking at the news. Trippier and Alderweireld have not travelled to Milan. A technical decision, says Pochettino, but he won't elaborate. Foyth, and Nkudu aren't in the Champions League squad, mm-hmm. and Ali, Lloris and Sissoko are still injured. So that's five players.
So that will be, or it'll be a back four then tomorrow night.
Yeah.
With Aurier at right back and Sanchez and Vertonghen at centre half.
I really don't like him.
It will be Aurier.
But he might be one of those players who's just better in the Champions League. Like when he first joined, he was absolutely brilliant in Europe.
Mm. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. They're not the force they were Inter, but still, it's a tough game going into that. And given the injuries and that you've just read out.
And who have we got the weekend?
We've then got Brighton away.
That's it.
After Brighton that, away. So you know what? Just looking at our Premier League fixtures, we've got Brighton, Huddersfield, Cardiff, the next three. So actually, looking at it, in 3 games' time, we could be sitting in the top three if we win those games.
Inter Milan's team: Icardi, Nainggolan, Lautaro Martinez, Perisic.
I've got Brozovic.
Mario. Yeah. Asamoah, Brozovic, Stefan de Vrij, whatever his name is, Miranda. There's some really good teams. Handanovic. There's some really decent.
They're a good
Renaccio,
side, yeah.
But they've been awful.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of decent players.
And also going to
us then. And going a lot to of decent the, players, but
going
generally
to the
awful.
San Siro is never an easy task anyway. Like it's going to be a tough game, but I'm confident we can go there. We need to go there and win as well. Like I think a draw would be okay, but the first game in the group in the Champions League is massive.
Yeah. But that whistle goes tomorrow. You want to win.
We have to win.
This is the same position. Do you remember we went Dortmund at home? Suddenly, 4 minutes in, Sun bursting.
Yeah, and we done it.
And then Kane scores probably my favourite goal of the group stages, where he probably pushes someone.
That was such a high quality game, that one against Dortmund as well,
amazing.
Last year.
Bamian got an offside goal, which was massively onside, and that would have changed the game.
And they opened up the away allocation, didn't they?
They're not getting the
opened it up.
I think it was all season ticket holders that went for it got it.
No way.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's the same loyalty points.
Got my ticket.
You up for Barca?
I'm applying for the away game for Barca because that will just be.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a small club mentality, but like, it's Barcelona away. Like I don't know when we're realistically going to play them again. You just don't know how things will happen.
I can't wait. I've got my ticket. I just want to see Messi in the Champions League as well. Yeah. Like, there's so many things.
Are you going to Barcelona?
I've got a home game,
Are you going
home? No, Sam and Mr. Elsenio are doing the home one. But it's like, I'm going to go for the away one. I went to watch Barca play last year. It's like, it doesn't mean as... Like, Sam's not seen them, so it's like, it probably means more to him to go and watch the home game. But if the away game, if we get tickets for that, will just be on another level. I've booked the whole week off work already in preparation.
The whole week?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I've got a lot of holiday still to take.
You're just going to go for that week?
I don't know if I'll go for the whole week, but I was even thinking if I don't get a ticket to still go out there for a few days, just to watch it out there would be pretty nuts.
Just to tear it up on that
one. Exactly. What are your predictions for the Inter game tomorrow night?
2-1 Spurs, 2-0 Spurs.
I feel like Jay's going to be...
I'm not confident at all.
You're not.
I'm really not confident.
3-1 Aurier to give away a penalty.
They see that's quite really... 3-1 Inter. I'd like to
see Gazzaniga start.
No!
Everyone's been saying this. Is it time for Gazzaniga to get a game? He's played once for us. Granted, he was unbelievable in that game, but that is a... ginormous risk.
He's played the same amount of games as Kane has.
He's 6'6".
I'm all for it. Let's get rid of what's his face, or make him third choice form. Gazzaniga, you might as well. If not, get rid of him. What have we got?
Can you imagine the nerves that he's played one game?
Inter away in
the San Siro. Can you imagine the nerves? I think it would be form. I'd be really surprised if it's Gazzaniga.
We know who's going to play. We know it before.
And then we've got Brighton at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Which is a tough game in the sense that they don't concede many goals, Brighton. They're quite a compact side and they're difficult to break down. And we found that last year. We beat them 2-0 at home and I think we drew 1-1 away in the end with them. So that's not going to be an easy game as well. And we need our players fresh for that. Would you make changes in the Champions League, bearing in mind the points you've made about fatigue? Are there any big players that you've
There'll be a few changes, but the nucleus of our side, I think, will stay largely the same.
Would you play Kane?
I'm pretty sure Kane will play.
I think he will.
Son will definitely play. I can see Lamella starting for Eriksen.
For Eriksen?
Yeah, I can't see
Eriksen.
I know, but he just...
I think Lamella might get a start against
Lamella, Moura,
Eriksen,
and Son.
You reckon? There's no way he's dropping Eriksen.
I think Lucas might drop out for the Inter game.
Son,
really?
Yeah, I could see that, and then him rotating them again.
The Premier League player of the month dropping out.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I didn't think that he was great against Liverpool, and
I just don't think Inter.
Yeah, I think that they're an Italian side, aren't they? Going to wise up to all of that kind of stuff. So, a prediction for the Brighton game then?
One.
I can see them shitting on us, them seagulls.
Sorry,
all day. I couldn't resist. Just been waiting for that.
So 1-0 Brighton then.
Yeah. 1-0 Spurs, and it'll be the one that gets the fans back on board. And
I think it'll be tight, but I see them scoring. But I don't think at the back we look that great at the minute. I see a 2-1. But
didn't
I think
they
that'll
lose
be a
to
tight game?
They lost to Bournemouth. Am I making this up? They lost to Bournemouth. I didn't even look at
them. They've got Southampton tonight, I think.
Have they?
Yeah. But that's not going to be an easy game. No game is
no
anyway.
Game,
but that's a game really, like, if we our next three.
Millwall was easy. The 6-0. That's the easiest game we've ever seen us play. Just because, like, you always think of like Stevenage. When we played Stevenage and we drew 0-0 away, that was still a tough
back
game.
Three. Ryan Nelson, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but that was desperate.
Gallas and Dawson.
Desperate. That was
slowest.
The legs in that defence are probably like Corluka as a wing back or something like that. Be conservative. Let's do the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz. So I'm going to give you a game and the date of that game, the formation that Spurs played, and then about half of the team. So you've got to try and figure out who the other players are. So this game is 2nd of December 1996.
Oh, God.
It's Tottenham 0, Liverpool 2. We played 4-4-2 formation.
96.
I was. goalkeeper was. Do you want a bit of paper? Do you want to write this down so you can try and keep track of?
I'll write on my phone. It's right.
So in goal was Ian Walker. Lovely hair.
Love that.
The right back is a question mark because that's one you've got to get.
Yeah.
The two centre halves were Colin Calderwood.
Yeah.
And he whose name shall never be spoken.
Oh. Is that part of the quiz?
No, that's a player I'm giving you. I just can't bring myself to say his name. Judas. Left back is a question mark.
Not Edinburgh.
You're keeping... Not yet. Wait, but it's not Edinburgh. Right midfield is also a question mark. Centre midfielders are David Howes and Alan Nilsson.
Oh, wait there. Sorry, right midfield was a question mark.
Yeah. Centre midfield, David Howes, Alan Nilsson.
Yeah.
Left-hand side of midfield is a question mark.
Yeah.
Strikers, Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah.
And the other one is a question mark. So you need the right back, the left back, the right winger, the left winger, and a striker. So that's
right
Tottenham 0, Liverpool 2, 1996.
All right then. Left back.
96?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a clue then, starting with the right back. He was a player that he was captain for a bit. He was sort of ever-present in that era. Had a good career with a couple of other Premier League clubs after us. Irish.
Carr.
Yeah. Steve Carr. Best goal I've ever seen.
Best goal, yeah.
Steve
there.
Carr's a right back. A clue on the striker, if you're struggling. Not Klinsmann. Bit of a target man.
Paul Stewart.
No. Got a lot of goals for Crystal Palace in the Premier League.
Santos is screaming. This is why I hate
always
this
injured and had a headband. Like, always had his head wrapped up because he was cracking his head open. And
I don't know. This is not.
Nothing.
This is not
God.
A game for me. Is right midfield, what's his face? Anderton.
Not Darren Anderton. Right hand side of midfield, his shirts were always about 1,000 sizes too bigger
not
than what he.
Redknapp.
Not Redknapp.
Not Samways.
No. Similar type of player to Aaron Lennon in terms of quite a small winger.
Rule Fox.
Shiniest man ever.
Everyone's shirts were big at that.
Especially
era.
Foxes.
Were they wearing a pony? Is it that pony?
They were wearing
the team
pony.
Was, to be honest. Almost.
Really? Left back.
And left mid.
Left back, and you still need the striker.
And the left midfielder.
You need the left back, the left mid, and the striker.
I hate this game.
Could you want the answers?
The striker. Always wore a bandage.
Well, in my mind, he was always bandaged.
In my head.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you the answers. So right back was Steve Carr that you got. The left back was Clive Wilson.
Oh, I never have got him.
No. You got Rule Fox as the right hand side of midfielder. Left hand side of midfielder was Andy Sinton.
Oh yeah. God. Got him on a mass map, right?
And the centre forward, I'm surprised he didn't get this, Chris Armstrong.
Bloody hell.
Oh God.
Always had his head in a bandage, no?
Didn't have
never delivered.
He's got dreads now, hasn't he? Have you seen him now?
Never delivered.
Have you seen him now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's Crystal Palace, he's still Crystal Palace's top scorer in the Premier League.
Just never delivered for us.
Since the start of last season, Payet is still West Ham's most creative player.
Amazing.
Did you see that goal he scored?
Oh my, yeah.
Ridiculous.
So that team then was Ian Walker, Steve Carr, Colin Calderwood, Judas, Clive Wilson, Rule Fox, David Howes, Alan Nilsson, Andy Sinton, Teddy Sheringham, Chris Armstrong.
Can we do two fans?
I've been doing that and I've been being told it's too easy.
Oh. So. To be honest, I think that team would have got beaten 8-0 by Liverpool on Saturday.
But would also have beaten the Spurs team on the performance that we put out.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it as well? Right, let's do a fantasy football update. You're both in the league?
No.
I'm not doing it this season, just because it takes up too much time.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, when I win, I win properly and I need to put time into it.
Yeah.
James Lamont is still top, 373 points, he's bossing it. Richard Healy's still in second. And then our very own Abbas, the top three.
He has got a lot of time. No one's ever seen his girlfriend, have they?
Unbelievable. Hot Totty Trilogy into third place.
So. Is that him?
That's him.
Is that his missus and then the girl from like Spain and the girl from France?
I mean, I don't think we should be talking about
we're
that.
We're not allowed to talk about
it. I mean, she's obviously going to be listening to this show. Because
how does
what
a pillow listen to a show?
I've got some listener questions now that I'm just going to rattle off at you. So, Jay, the first one to you. This is from I Know Alan Gilzean on Twitter. He said, what's with Dembele at the base of the midfield? Why do you think Potch has become tinker man with the formation in the side this season? Brilliant.
I was surprised to see us. I mean, you thought bravery with a diamond. I was surprised to see us play it.
Mm. Okay. ASD, this is from Sluice23 on Twitter. Again, why has Potts changed the formation? If it wasn't broken last season, why is he trying to fix it?
Because you can't. You constantly have to move forward. You can't just sit still, particularly in a place where you get found out quickly. All the attention's on us all the time. You can't just sit there and do the same thing. You can't do the same thing and expect the same results in nearly everything in life. And it's exactly the same here. We didn't buy anyone, so we have to evolve. It's that simple.
Jay, this is from Stato, and there's a series of questions in here. I won't go into what he said about Vaughan because we've covered that, but he said, why can't Eriksen recreate his international form?
I think it's... I mean, we've covered the fatigue piece, haven't we? But I think... To be honest, I disagree with the need to constantly evolve. I think a level of stability... So him playing off Kane alongside Ali was working for us, and I think it could continue to.
Mm. And he's also said, has Dyer been away on a stag weekend because he played like he has?
Well, we've covered this. It was Wednesday.
Yeah.
90 on Wednesday.
Players in the centre of the park always get the most attention because there's the most happening around them by laws of averages, so you get the most... They just get a lot of attention, don't they?
ASD, Giles Edwards on Twitter says, do our players believe their own hype a little too much, reflected in perceived lack of effort?
I saw this question, and it's definitely interesting. I mean, literally, I can never know, but there's definitely a point where you've seen a lot of them say, we need to deliver trophies this season, so they all know what they're meant to be. So it may play a part of it, and it worries me when people come to the end of this season, they see Vertonghen is in his year last year, Alderweireld might leave. Like, there's going to be questions asked, and we definitely plateaued. Like, our peak, I would argue our peak was the last season of White Hart Lane, where we didn't lose a game.
Yeah.
We were smashing
like 86 points or something
ridiculous.
Like that.
We did so well that season. We just, Wembley was a bit of a struggle, although we had some amazing moments, and I think they're just reaching maturity, and they're just, we're not, you know, when a kid's, when you buy in Dele Alli and he gets better and better and better, and then it begins to plateau naturally. We're just plateauing.
He also says as well, am I simply overreacting due in part to the scars inflicted on us during the 90s?
I think the overreact, I think it depends on what you're reacting to, but everyone reacts game by game, and that's the mistake. You have to look at it long term. You have to step back and have a look at what the pattern is, not what the single result is. Pep Guardiola said, you lose games in the season. That's just what happens. Mm. That's not a winning mentality. But if you're stiff, then you'll break. If you go, we have to win every game, then you'll break. And suddenly, if you do lose the game, then suddenly your mentality is gone. So you have to take the ups and the downs. And I think the Watford defeat was worse than the Liverpool one. The performance was bad. Liverpool was just better than us. Was Watford, we should have won that game. And that was worse than the Liverpool game. We're now on two losses. This week's a big week, I think, where we have to react. I'm not too worried about it. Reacting to the 90s, I think there's a lot of people who remember a lot of crap. And there's a lot of people who just don't know it. Like, you see a lot of our international fans who first came to Spurs in the first Champions League game 6 years ago. Like, they haven't known what a lot of people have known. And it's not that you go into every game and they lose and you learn to deal with the rejection. It's just the expectation that next year is going to be this crap and the following year is going to be crap. Like, you've supported Wales in rugby in the 90s, it was exactly the same. You just go, we might have one good result. Like, I remember supporting Wales in football. We beat Italy 1-0, 2-1. I think Del Piero scored, but we beat them. That was the best result that they'd ever had until we beat Belgium in the Euros 2 years ago. And it's the expectation that kills you. I listened to the Elon Musk podcast with Joe Rogan this morning. He said, happiness is expectation minus is reality minus expectation, or whatever it is. And Spurs players are, Spurs fans have just got their expectations too high. I'm not saying have lower expectations, just saying mediate, just get learn what we are.
Yeah, but we've seen this current crop of players, having said that, we've seen them grow up together.
True.
I think where we'd have gone down to a Watford and a Liverpool, we'd have hunted them down.
We haven't been right. I'm not denying that.
You know, and I definitely think this is not just a blip. There's something wrong,
you reckon,
with this group of players right now around, and we keep talking about it. There is something wrong with their fitness at large.
I think that is such an overreaction on two poor results, and we're all agreed on that. But I just think that I agree with what you said, Asda. You're gonna lose matches. It's the nature of it. And I just think this is where we just need to be calm, go back to basics, go back to doing what we do best, which is taking the game to the opposition, being solid defensively.
In both situations, when we went behind, we didn't really chase the game.
Well, I feel like
there's something in that.
Yeah.
There is something in that that needs fixing. We were bloody lucky against United.
You're talking about
not to go behind.
Yeah, but you're talking about two lots of 20 minutes or two lots of. You're talking about like 2 hours worth.
Yeah, our reaction historically is what's carved out a unique position for this club this side in this club's history.
This side's all about the
control. We've always fought and we stopped fighting.
No, if we were in that season, was it three seasons ago, where we scored like five last minute goals? I'd agree, but we're not a reactive counter-attacking side. We have far more control than that. So I don't think it is about. Well, I don't think we are a reactive club. We're not Leicester. Leicester, in the season they won the league, we're just a reactive counter-attacking team. We're not that. We have far more control, I think.
Jay, next question for you. This is from Steve Marsh on Twitter. He said, is not having a home stadium finally starting to affect the players? Normally we would have followed up the United win with a home match, which you'd fancy us, so things could have been a lot different before going into that Liverpool game.
No. I'm not going to blame it on that. Because I think we've had a whole season there and we know how to play at Wembley. And I think these players are more professional than that.
Still a pitch at the end of the day.
It's only a pitch. Yeah. It's only a
NWA
pitch.
NWA said, a pitch is a pitch.
Brilliant. ASD XL THFC says, do you agree that it's time to stop playing people ahead of Kane positionally? I think the current formation is designed to seemingly bring the best out of Lucas is seriously hindering the impact of Kane and Ericsson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Jambo 9999 said, should we go back to 4-2-3-1 where everyone knows what they're doing?
Yeah.
I would love that.
As much as you, to your point, ASD, about trying to evolve things and constantly outfox the opposition, Yeah, I think we do. We all know what we're doing. We all understand our relative position within the system within 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I agree with that. Two more. So Richard Stanton on Facebook said, if you could guarantee that we'd win a single game this season, which game would it be?
Chelsea away. Or Arsenal away. We haven't won Arsenal away. Or no, the Champions League final.
That's what I was, going to say. That's a clever answer. Jay?
I'd go City at home.
Just at home?
Yeah. In a few weeks, actually, as well, wasn't it? So that'll be a big statement.
Monday night.
As well. Daryl tells on Facebook.
Daryl.
Do we really want to stay in the Carabao Cup? I love that this is the Carabao. We haven't even spoke about the Carabao Cup all season, have we? But yes. I'm all for the Carabao
next week.
Cup.
Next week.
That's middle of next week, isn't it?
Yes.
It's in the Milton Keynes game, isn't it?
No, I don't want to be in that.
Yeah, I do.
I want us to prioritise it. I want us to prioritise the Carabao Cup.
I don't want to be.
I want to win anything.
I hate his name.
It's such a stupid name, isn't it?
Yeah. I hate the fact that they're also. Aligned through a commercial partnership with Chelsea.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah. They sponsor their kit, don't they? Their training
point.
Kit.
What do you think of the PSG Jordan one? Have you seen that? They've got the Jordan.
Oh yeah.
Nike Jordan. So not Nike, Jordan brand. Have done their first football shirt, and it's PSG away.
I actually think the kit looks really nice.
The kit looks great.
Yeah,
it's really just nice. Weird having a basketball player on it. Yeah, but it looks smart.
But it's just what it is now, isn't it? Really.
Yeah.
That's everything. I mean, it's been a tough couple of weeks.
It's been a tough couple.
But we've got a great opportunity. We're into tomorrow night, and then three very winnable Premier League games coming up in the next month or so. So we've got
Cardiff,
Brighton, Cardiff, and Huddersfield. Yeah, we need three. So
are you going to cheer us up?
Oh well, you've got a brilliant joke, haven't you, to finish this show?
I think you're going to cheer us up.
Actually, before the joke. How's Junior? Because obviously I know you met up with him last week. Junior Malanga.
So he's done something interesting. He's on a reverse missionary. So usually people go to Africa to try and raise awareness, but he's actually gone to North London to raise awareness of Christianity. So I haven't been able to. The reception's really bad over there, so I haven't really spoken to him much. But he says, if you were in charge of Raynham Steel. And the smouldering remains. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Do you want to just do your joke?
Yeah, I'll just do my joke. What, no, you've ruined it as well. I was going to drop it in there. But before I do the joke.
I'm nervous waiting
before
for
I do
this.
The joke, I've got a new phone, the S9 Plus, it's really good.
Other phones are available.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to sponsor us, we're definitely up for it. But the. I'm now working in an international thing and it loaded loads of my old contacts on there. So I've been through and deleted all the Germans from my phone. I've gone hands-free. Thank you.
That's great.
You're not going to do the joke?
I'm not going to do the Debbie McGee one, but I'll tell you about my old girlfriend. Did I tell you about this?
You didn't know.
She's in a wheelchair, bless her. Did I tell you about this? I broke up with her and I took her wheelchair and guess who came crawling back?
And on that bombshell, remember whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy, and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
The that.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Rafael van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.